Well, I noticed on the calendar today that today is Grandparents' Day. So happy Grandparents' Day to all of our grandparents and to your families. One of my favorite stories about grandparents is this grandfather went to have dinner with his children and grandchildren. And during the dinner, the five-year-old boy says to his grandpa, "Grandpa, when are you going to do your frog imitation?" And the grandfather says, "I'm not sure what you mean. I don't know how to do a frog imitation." And the little boy says, "Well, I overheard Mom say that when you croak, we'll all be rich." Now, today's gospel comes from St. Luke, and it's all about the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. And it's a very difficult reading. There's a lot of things in today's gospel that don't make sense when you just read it on a surface level. For example, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Then Jesus says, "You can't be his disciple unless you take up your cross and follow him. You can't be his disciple unless you renounce all your possessions." See, these things are very difficult to understand. So let's take a look at what is the Lord referring to. Again, realize that today's gospel is all about discipleship, following Christ, and the cost of discipleship. Now, when we look at the details of today's gospel, which is very important, we see that Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem. He was on his way to his death, on his way to his passion, his sufferings, his crucifixion. He was on his way to sacrifice his life for our salvation. And it said that great crowds followed him. And huge crowds were following Jesus. Now, in any crowd, there are sincere, devoted followers. But then there's a lot of casual followers as well. A lot of these people were following Jesus because they got a free lunch, because they knew that when the Lord was around, he could multiply loaves and fish. So some people followed Jesus so that they would, you know, get their bellies filled. Others followed Jesus because he might do a miracle. Maybe he would cure some people. And so maybe they wanted to see a miracle. Maybe they were curious. Others followed Jesus just in a very casual way. So it says they were all traveling, and Jesus stopped and he turned around. And he then talked to this huge crowd. What the Lord is trying to do is to sort of separate the men from the boys in this. He turns around and really says, "Why are you following me? Do you really know what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Christ? Are you willing to do these things? Are you willing to love me more than your own family, more than your parents, your spouse, your children, your job? Are you willing to love me above all things?" And then he says, "Are you willing to take up your own cross and follow me?" See, to take up one's cross meant really to be willing to die for Christ. When somebody carried the cross, they were condemned criminals on their way to execution by the Romans. That's what it meant back then, to take up your cross and follow Jesus. So these are very strong, very powerful words. So why does the Lord say that unless we hate our father, mother, wife, children, we cannot be his disciples? What the Lord is using here is a sort of a Jewish expression. It's a hyperbole, which is an obvious exaggeration to drive home a point, to make a dramatic point. Because we know in other places of Scripture, we're not supposed to hate our father, mother, wife, children, our own life. The Bible says, "Love one another as I have loved you." So the Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." So how do we reconcile this idea of hating one's own family members? Again, it's an hyperbole, an obvious exaggeration to drive home a point. And the fathers of the church have always seen and interpreted this passage to mean you have to have a hierarchy of loves. Yes, of course, you love your spouse, you love your children, you love your own life. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. So there has to be self-respect there. And to love your parents, of course, honor your father and mother. The Bible says that. But what the Lord is saying is that you have to love God above all things. Okay? You have to love God more than you love anyone or anything else. So you must love God above everything. Even if it means sacrificing, let's say if a young man is called to the priesthood or a young woman to religious life and they have to go become a missionary, then they give up being around their family in order to do God's will, to follow Him above all things, and to follow their vocation. And then the Lord says, you can't be His disciple unless you carry your own cross and come after Him. Again, in those days, people thought that maybe Jesus was some political ruler that was going to be a political king and drive out the Romans and restore Israel. Jesus says, no, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to my death. If you want to follow me, you have to take up your own cross every day as well. So what are your crosses that you take up? Well, maybe some of you have physical crosses, maybe health issues. Well, Jesus says, offer it up. Carry your cross. Unite it to Him. Maybe you have financial struggles, financial crosses, relationship problems, marriage problems, family problems with the children, the grandchildren. No matter what it is, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow Him. So offer it up. Unite your sufferings to Jesus. Be willing to carry the crosses that you have. And then you will be a true disciple of Christ. Then He says something, again, very difficult to interpret. Any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Well, when you see what the fathers of the church interpret this, notice Jesus doesn't say you have to give up all your possessions. He doesn't say give up everything. He says you have to be willing to renounce your possessions. You see the difference between giving them up and being detached from them, being willing to renounce them. That's the difference. Be willing to renounce your possessions. Again, material things are a blessing. They're good. But if they become somebody's whole life, well, then they've made that a god. So you have to be willing to be detached from material things and the things of this world in order to be completely attached to God. So He didn't say you have to give up your possessions. He just says you have to be detached from them. Be willing to renounce them. And then lastly, Jesus gives us two parables, which I think are very interesting. One is about somebody who's going to build a building, and Jesus says they have to sit down and calculate everything, otherwise they'll start something that they can't finish. The other one is a king going into battle, and does he have enough troops to win the battle? And I think that we can apply these to our life as well, because in a sense, I think we're all builders of something. You know, a priest might have the great opportunity to build a beautiful church, like here at St. John's, and Father Moseman built this beautiful church, building a Catholic community. So we get to build things as priests. But I think in your own life too, you're builders. You're trying to build a good marriage, trying to build a good, strong family, trying to build good friendships and relationships. Some of you are trying to build companies and maybe build a good volunteer organization. See, we're all builders, I think, in some way. And so I think we should see, what is the Lord calling us to do? Is He calling us to create something or build something that can help others, whether it be a volunteer organization or a special ministry that you're building up? Or trying to, again, build up a good, strong marriage or build a good family. And then lastly, what is this idea about going into battle? And to be a disciple, you have to be willing to go into battle. Well, you know, we are living in what's called the church militant. The church triumphant is in heaven. The church sufferings in purgatory. We're part of the church militant. That means we're in a battle to save our souls and a battle to save the souls of others. And the Bible says that life on earth is a warfare, fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. See, as Christians, we're called to be soldiers of Christ. At our confirmation, we were strengthened to become soldiers of Christ. Not just sons and daughters of God, but soldiers. And we have a battle. We have society that's getting more and more pagan, more and more secular, more and more hedonistic, less and less Christian. So we have to fight for Christian values. We have to fight for the sanctity of marriage between man and woman, fight for the sanctity of unborn human life, fight for the sanctity of the elderly, that they won't be killed off through euthanasia, fight for the sanctity of families. So if we don't see ourselves in a battle, then we're missing the parable from today. So we have to see ourselves as builders to build up the kingdom of God, build up strong families, strong marriages, but also to really be willing to fight for our faith, to fight for our Lord. We have attacks all the time against our religious freedom. It's just going to get worse. It's going to get more and more prominent in our society, our culture. And so we have to fight for our religious freedoms. See, we have to realize that we are soldiers for Christ. And so when we look at this gospel, we see it's all about discipleship. Being willing to love God above all things. Being willing to take up our cross every day and follow in His footsteps. And be willing to be detached from our material possessions and to look at ways we can build up the kingdom of God and be true soldiers for Christ.